Blog Talk Radio.
Satellite Guys Radio presents another edition of Satellite Nation with your hosts, Michael and Dave. We look forward to taking your calls. Do you have a comment for the show? Or maybe you have a question for us? If so, we look forward to your call at 877-SAT-GUYS. That is 877-728-4897. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Dave.
Actually, it's Scott and Michael right now, and I think Dave just dropped off the line. It looks like Blog Talk Radio may be having some issues tonight. Oh, joy. Oh, joys. Let's see if we can get him back in the fold here. And while we're dialing him in there, we're going to say good evening to everybody. And,
20th episode.
Number.
Uh-oh, you calling my cell?
Yeah.
Dave, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I just Skyped in.
Oh, hi, Dave. There you are. We'll hang up on that one then.
Booyah.
There we go.
There we go.
All right. Now we're working. We saw you drop off there, so we tried getting you back on the line. And anyways, welcome to episode number 20.
The Skype box, you know, pulled up. And episode 20.
Episode 20. And we got a lot of comments about episode 19, and we got a lot more to talk about tonight. Just a little while here, we'll be joined by Joe, who I believe is T134. I always get the numbers mixed up. At Fridge Free to Air. And he'll be coming up in just a couple minutes to talk about what they got going on over there. And also, he sells a couple brands of satellite receivers that are kind of interesting. And he'll be talking about those as well. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls as well, toll-free at 877-SAT-GUYS. If you can't get through tonight, if it's a busy signal or something like that, we do apologize. There's a big announcement on the Blog Talk Radio homepage that they're having technical difficulties and their engineers are working. So please bear with us there. If you can't get through the 800 number, the other number to try is 347-327-9319 is the number. That's 347-327-9319. That's in case the toll-free number is not working. All right, guys. So, well, last week we had DirecTV announce their numbers and announce a subscriber loss for DirecTV North America. And yesterday we had Dish Network announce its numbers and also a loss there. Is anybody really surprised?
Nope.
No, I think the low-hanging fruit is gone. And, you know, people are shopping now. They're looking for the biggest bang for their buck, and there's no such thing as brand loyalty anymore, and we're seeing that. Right here with the stuff we got going on with Dish and DirecTV, so the numbers did not surprise me in the least.
No, the only people adding customers is Verizon and AT&T with UVerse.
UVerse kind of surprised me they're adding numbers, but UVerse has finally started expanding again. In fact, I just got word that they have fiber optic available in my neighborhood now, and while that sounds good and everything, their top speed is only 45 megabit, and I'm at 60 now, so I'd be downgrading if I did that.
That's wild. Is that UVerse with copper to your house or actual fiber to the house?
They're not really saying. I know before it was copper. It was just using standard twisted pair.
So they're probably just doing a bonded line. They're probably just using two pairs.
Right. So some interesting things there. And Verizon, you know, if Fios was available in my neighborhood, I'd hop all over that in a second.
Who wouldn't?
You know, the DVR is not as good as the Hopper, but when you have 500 megabit service coming into your house, if you want it, and every single HD channel in its pure uncompressed form, who wouldn't want that?
That's right.
So that's it. And it looks like we got Joe calling in from Fridge Free to Air. So let's say good evening, Joe. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, it's been one of those days, Scott, but, you know, I'm still here hanging in. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
We're doing great. We're glad you got in. Blog Talk Radio is having some trouble with their telephone lines tonight, so we're glad you made it online. And why don't you take a minute and tell us about yourself and tell us about Fridge Free to Air and tell us about your satellite receivers yourself.
Okay. That's a lot to cover in a minute, but...
you can take longer than a minute. Get all that.
I don't like to talk that much. But, you know, basically in a nutshell, my name's Joe Franco. I do True FTA. I've done it for a number of years. back in 2009 when people were doing their little pirate thing with just flashing receivers, I decided that I wanted to start a site about true free-to-air. Since it seemed, you know, you go to Google and you type in, you know, FTA, all you come up with is pirate stuff. So me and my partner at the time, you know, went with a real simple, casual format, started a true FTA site. It kind of accidentally got a store attached to it, you know, our Bridge FTA satellite store. And at present, we're now the distributors of the Amico brand of STBs from Europe.
And tell me about some of the different varieties of the Amico boxes you have, because they're quite interesting. And I'll follow that up with another question after that, because I hear some good stuff maybe coming down the line.
Okay. Well, our flagship unit is the Alien 2, which is a dual booting set-top box, which means it runs a Linux Spark operating system, which is a real basic, easy-to-use operating system. And then with the flip of a few buttons, you can switch over to another partition and boot Enigma 2, which is a completely different operating system with different characteristics. They're dual tuners. They're, I'm sure everyone knows what an open box S9 looks like. The unit's about that size. It, you know, it's not just a satellite receiver. It's basically a whole media center, IPTV streamer, video on demand. You know, it does just about everything you can think of.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I picked one up. I picked one up a couple months ago. Unfortunately, I haven't had time to play with it that much because of all the remodeling going on over here. But the one thing I really liked about it was an all-in-one box, including online streaming. And you had some really great content that you aggregated there, and it makes it really interesting. It's kind of nice to sit there with one box and be able to watch different things without having to change your HDMI inputs. And there's always something new. That's one of the other things I noticed. Every time you turn it on, there's an update, and there's something new to watch for streaming services. It's really cool.
Well, you know, streaming is you know, kind of like FTA. You know, you got things that come and go, you know, daily, weekly. You know, so it always changes. We'll have you know, certain channels one day, and then we lose something good, and then a week later we have 10 new channels that, you know, we couldn't imagine that we could even do, you know, the week before.
Right, right.
You know, and really these days with you know, I know there's guys out there that, you know, believe, well, if you got a satellite receiver, it shouldn't touch the internet, and, you know, blah blah blah. But you know, these days we're losing content on FTA. More guys are going to IP delivery, you know, and encrypting, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But more content is becoming available, you know, on IPTV.
Yeah, just
you know,
this
a guy that really wants to.
Sorry.
Go ahead, sir.
Just this last week, we lost Weather Nation, and we lost Escapes, and it looks like we're going to be losing this TV sometime pretty soon because they keep on testing their encryption. So, not
yep,
the best of times.
This TV will move satellites, and they'll be encrypted as of November 1st.
Yeah, yes.
So
things are going away.
That's gone.
But every, you know, people say, oh, my God.
It's going tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera English going bye-bye, and they're also going to geo-block it, so that way you cannot watch it in the United States via IPTV as well, which is unfortunate.
Well,
they
that's,
want every...
well, we'll see what happens on the 20th, because I have a feeling that we'll still have it on our IPTV system.
Hopefully. That'd be nice, because, you know, people think of Al Jazeera, and they think of this evil, you know, anti-American channel. But if you ever watched Al Jazeera English, it is a really, really well-done news channel without that much bias. It's not like American television where they tell you what they want you to think. And most of the reporters on there are former BBC reporters. And the reporting is done with such class and style, and they're doing reporting that nobody else is doing. All of the stuff you're seeing out of Egypt is actually coming from Al Jazeera, because they're the only network there covering this stuff live. And it's just been real incredible to watch and see it unfiltered without people telling us what we should be thinking. And it's going to be sad to see it go away if it does go away.
Oh, for sure. Al Jazeera is it's one of my favorite news networks. You don't get the bias and the political that we get with American news media, and even the British news media to a point. You know, and you're right. They do all sorts of documentaries and stories about really important issues that, you know, Fox News, MSNBC, and the rest of them wouldn't, you know, pay a single bit of attention to.
Yeah, yeah. And the great thing about the Al Jazeera English, and someone just walked by and waved at me and caused me to lose my entire train of thought. I'm sitting outside and I'm looking through the stained glass, sliding glass doors here, and someone just waved to me. But the Al Jazeera English is a really interesting channel. The only other channel that I think is better than Al Jazeera English as far as providing, less biased news would probably be Euronews. And Euronews is great because they also often broadcasted the news with just natural sound. So you saw 15 minutes of them walking through the streets and seeing bombs going off and this blowing up and people screaming and this, that, and the other thing. Or them just going up and walking up to people on the street and asking what they think about something. And it was uncensored, and it was just – there was no bias there. It was you to decide what was right or what was wrong about that story. And it was I missed that one off satellite as well. That one was from a couple years ago. And I believe I've seen that one pop up a few times on the box.
Yep, yeah. If you ever finish the remodeling there and get that Alien 2 hook back up, Euronews English is on there. You know, there's all sorts of different ones from Europe, but I figured it wasn't worth adding Euronews Romania and, you know, other things that, you know, where we don't understand them anyway. But we have Euros on there, Sky News is on there. We got Jewish News 1. We got, you know, for international news, we pretty much have the full variety that we can carry.
Right, right. And the times have changed. You know, before, if you told somebody you had a Ethernet connection on the back of the box or a Wi-Fi connection on the back of the box, they automatically thought pirate. And that's not the case anymore, especially with stuff like this, where you're watching online streaming content. You know, I'll be honest, not 100% of it's probably legal to be streaming here in the United States, but it's getting here, and it's probably like the same thing of watching free to air television, where you're tuned to something you're not necessarily supposed to be seeing in the area you're at. But it's enjoyable, and I think they both go together very well with the online streaming and the free to air hobby. Michael and Dave, do you have any questions for our guests?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, so, like on these, on the receiver on the Alien 2, can you, like, put in a manual, like a stream you want to view? Like, could it view like a TS stream?
A raw, an Apple HLS raw transport stream?
Either that or, let's say, like a transport stream from, like, TS Reader. Or like a DVB blaster or something like that.
Let me think. You should be able to do that. What you would do would be in our legacy web TV system. It allows you to manually enter, or if you're adventurous, you can just grab the XML and, you know, type it in on your computer. You would type in the IP address of the computer you're streaming from and the port and put it in as a quote-unquote web TV channel. Start your stream from whatever program you're using on your computer, and then the Alien 2 would pick up that stream just like it was a web TV channel from anywhere else.
Gotcha. So you can actually send a channel list via an XML file to the unit then? Like if you wanted to make your own channel list? Really?
Yeah, it uses a very it's a very simple XML file for the legacy web TV. Where, you know, basically you put in your RTMP or HTTP stream. You put in a description and whether it's live or a static file, and it'll add it right to your list.
Gotcha, gotcha. And then I got another question. I've seen on your site you like 80, was it 80 on-demand channels or something? And I was just wondering what so you've got on-demand with this, and then you continuously update the streams, too, that are available?
Well, it's real hard for me to give an actual channel count. That, you know, I like to say that we have at any given time around 80 live IPTV channels.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's totally separate from the video on demand. And the way we have it set up in for the Americas units, you know, Europe doesn't even have this right now, is that all the feeds are server side controlled here. So, you know, often they'll change providers or ports or, you know, something else where a stream will go down.
Mm-hmm.
On, you know, other IPTV units, you'd have to go in there and, you know, figure out what they did, change your file, you know, or you'd have to download and flash something. Every once in a while, I get to go through these channels. Something's down. I figure it out. I put it into our server, and all the Alien 2s and the Alien 1s, they just start working again.
Yeah, that was one thing.
So
When we had the AZ Box.
Go ahead,
when the AZ Box was out and they had the AZ Box Elite, it was a pain because you had to manually, first off, type in each URL you wanted. There was no master list. And this makes it so much easier and so much more pleasant. And also, unlike the AZ Box, when you were watching streaming video, you can actually stop it and actually have it stop. One of the problems with the AZ Box is when you tuned into a streaming video, there was no way to stop it. So the only way to stop it and stop it from using all your internet bandwidth was to reboot the box.
Wow. Well, I mean, that you know, and not to diss on Asbox at all, because it's a fine product with its, you know, own, you know, pleasant features. But, you know, I never found that streaming or, you know, online features was a strong point of that product line. You know, where
right.
What we're trying to do with the Amicos is, you know, make it real easy where, you know, not to diss on people's wives or anything, but, you know, where it's wife friendly, where you go in on a GUI driven menu, you select the icon, press play, and it just works.
And so far from when I play with it does do that. And, you know, my wife doesn't touch my free to air stuff, but I would like her to get into using it sometime. And if she finds something interesting, hopefully she picks up the remote and says, "Hey, I want to watch that," and takes an interest in it. But that'd be kind of cool. She thinks I'm a nerd sitting there because I got all my stuff hooked up to my own TV in my room, and so I can, you know, scan stuff when I have time. So, anyways, you know, last week's show became very popular. Do a controversial subject, if we can change the subject here for a minute.
No, hold on, I got one more question.
Oh, Dave,
one more question.
Wait, I'll need to speak with my legal department, I think, before we go there, Scott.
Yeah, well, hold on, wait on the reindeer here, hold on. So on this Alien 2, with the Spark Linux, can you SSH into it? And then also, will it multicast a stream from whatever MUX you're on?
Okay. First question, can you SSH into it? Yes, you can SSH Telnet and FTP into the box.
Oh,
at
nice.
Root level.
Okay. Beautiful. Okay.
So, the only part that's locked out is, you know, about the same as any of the others. They have their M image part for Spark that they, you know, keep to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for the most part, on the Spark side, you can get in and, you know, do what you need to do, flash new web TV files in there, reboot the thing. It, you know, the simpler version is, you know, it has its own web interface where you can stream from. I think this is your second question. If you're watching something on satellite, you can stream that to your computer, or you can stream it to an Android phone or tablet. You know, and you can fully control the unit, you know, from a, you know, from Firefox or Internet Explorer, you know, or your Android. we just added something called AirPlay, and I'm not an Apple fan. We'll just leave it at that. So I really don't know much about what it does, and I don't have any official support for it since I don't have any Apple products. But it apparently does most of whatever that AirPlay does with streaming back and forth too.
It basically sends it to your Apple TV, sends the video to your Apple TV with no wires, so it does it all over your network.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean,
very
it's,
cool.
It's
very
a brand,
cool.
It's a brand new function, and like I said, I don't know anything about Apple, but from what I can see, guys are getting it to work. So,
Well,
that's
I'll hand
cool
it over to the legal department with Mr. Scott there.
Hey, before I get into reindeer games, I want to mention while you're listening to the show, don't forget to go and enter for the Dream 7-Day Vacation cruise with us. We opened up the entries this morning, and you can enter up to 10 times a day at Satellite Guys. And again, you'll be winning a 7-day cruise from New York City to Bermuda. And we're going to be going on the new Norwegian ship coming out. And please go register. You can do it 10 times a day, once every 30 minutes. You can enter up to 310 times in that time. So the more you enter, the better your chances are to win. That's to celebrate our 10th birthday here at Satellite Guys. So go do it now, and then at the end of the show, you'll be able to enter again. So if you haven't entered yet, please go and do that. The URL is right on the homepage, or if you check on the top on the bar there, you'll see where it says raffle. Click on that, and then just follow the instructions, and you'll be entered to win. And good luck from your friends here at Satellite Guys. All right, now back to the legal department here, and we get into some reindeer games. And boy, have we got some feedback from last week's show. And all of it has been surprisingly 100% positive. And I think Joe's been seeing the same thing on his side over at Fridge Feed Air.
Oh, I'm always seeing all sorts of things with this this reindeer and Rudolph, the red-nosed Pinocchio over there. I got the most interesting email today with, you know, it mentioned Fridge FTA, Satellite Guys, Rick's, another site that I wasn't immediately familiar with, all on some weird world conspiracy to, you know, destroy the C-band and Pinocchio over there. I'm not sure exactly what that was about.
Yep, and they've contacted their legal to contact us, and I'd happily welcome their legal department to contact us, because everything we've said has been 100% true. We have it all in writing. There's no disputing anything we said. Really, and I said this last week, ask yourself why this person has been banned from every single satellite site in the United States except for his own. And that speaks for itself.
You know, guys, it's no secret that you know, like Fridge FTA and Satellite Guys have had differences, and that, you know, a lot of our sites don't always get along. But Pinocchio, the red-nosed reindeer over there, has managed to do something no one else can do. He's actually united, you know, basically the entire true free air community in North America. And, you know, I hate to say it, but, I mean, with any business, you're going to get, you know, X number of complaints, whether they're legitimate or not. And, you know, if you get one or two people that aren't happy on occasion, you know, unfortunately it happens. But when you have multiple guys sending me emails, posting in all of our forums, they've had these their own various issues. I mean, there's a little more to it than some worldwide conspiracy to destroy C-band and Glenn the Red-Nosed Pinocchio over there.
Hey, Joe, you have a store. Do you only ship on Friday, or do you ship on other days, too?
That'd be great if I could only ship on Friday. you know, I normally shut things down here one day during the week, just because, you know, I tend to, you know, I run, you know, the master distribution for New Zealand, Australia, South America, all of North America for Amoco. And, you know, then I got to work Chinese hours, I got to work European hours, so I'll take one day off a week. The other days we're shipping.
No, he's kind of making a joke at Mr. Glenn, who says he can only ship stuff out once a week.
Yeah, he only ships on Friday.
And
well,
you know.
No, that's Friday once every six to eight weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what I find funny? If you go to his website, he's still promoting that he's doing these free-to-air modifications. I'm sorry, these 4D TV modifications, and how you should send him your thing to do it because he's the best there is. Yet lower down the page it says you don't want to do it because it's a waste of money, and 4D TV is dead. So why is he even advertising his services for 4D TV if he doesn't believe it himself? That's
Well, I mean, you got to try to get money from all sides. I mean, how's the guy supposed to eat?
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, when he ripped off the guy's rope Mapmaster, and I've got copies of emails from Glenn himself, he said, "Sorry, guys, but I need to put food on the table." You know, the people who actually wrote the program got zilch for it, and he was making tens of thousands of dollars on it, and still probably making money today because he keeps requesting money at his forum, which he doesn't even pay to host anything over there. It's back. It's on somebody else's server. I don't know. Bad news. And
that brings up a really interesting subject. You know, after I ran the Rudolph stuff past my legal department. you know, me and my legal department looked at that. You know, it's almost a daily thing I do in my sleep, sending out DMCA and freaking federal lawsuit threats and all sorts of things for things that aren't quite so legitimate. You know, people trying to rip off software or trademark violations, et cetera, et cetera. And the best thing that this guy could do is file a lawsuit against you or me, because that makes everything he's done open to something called discovery.
Mm-hmm.
We get his customer records. We get his bank records. We get to backtrace these postal money orders he doesn't think are traceable. We get to look at these PayPal disputes people have filed against him. You know, we get 100 times more evidence than we have against the guy.
Yep. And,
That music workshop site could be completely seized and frozen by the federal courts as evidence. You know, whoever the music guy is, you know, is going to completely lose his sight over this if Rudolph there wants to, take this to the next level.
Yep. And offhand, and Dave knows a little bit about this, but we found out it's actually pretty easy to get the Cisco boxes and set up your own programming service if you wanted to. And I happened to do a little talking today, and it was only with one person, so I don't know if it's true or not true. But I'm told that if we wanted to, we could set up our own programming service, and the programmers that have anything to do with him, if there are any programmers that have anything to do with him, would have to talk to us and would have to offer their programming to us at the same price. And the person I was talking to really knows about programming. I'm not going to say too much more about that, but this is what the person did for a living for a long time, and probably did billions of dollars in programming discussions. So,
if you really wanted to...
Sorry, Joe, go ahead.
I can't debate that, you know, based on the limited information. But, I'm thinking if I got myself a PowerView box from the local TV station here or an old AFN PowerView, you know, those are normally locked to a particular service, and PowerView's got a great system. I'm not sure why, if I called Comcast or Fox up and said, "Hey, you know, I got a box and I want to be able to get your service," why they'd be under any obligation to sell it to me.
They're not.
And, Dave himself has called around to a couple programmers, and they're not interested in such a thing, including some of the stations listed on the Reindeer Games site. So, what I was told is that if we wanted to, we could set up the same thing that Reindeer's doing and then, you know, charge people what we're paying for it and put Reindeer right out of the business.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know?
Well, I mean, if you can find the programmers that'll deal with a few hundred end users max, you know, there's no money. This all comes down to economics, and there's no money in dealing with end users, you know, for a few hundred subscriptions. These guys make money on millions of subscriptions.
Yep.
Just did not see it as realistic whatsoever.
At his own online forum, he has polls asking about whether they should do this or this with the service. and there's not a single poll there that's got more than 100 votes on it. How can you operate a service?
Well, let's
like
talk
this?
About the price of the box first. It's $400, the cheapest place you can buy it anywhere.
Well, that's the wholesale cost.
Yeah.
Well, no, the Glentech 999, as we like to call it at Fridge, is going to be a $1,000 retail box. I mean, who is going to pay, who's going to pay $1,000 for the box? You know, I'm sure you have to send a money order into that reindeer place, too, so that you can't dispute it later on your credit card. But who's going to pay $1,000 for this box, then pay for the subscription programming on top of it?
Mm.
And what's the subscription programming going to cost? And what actual programming is there going to be? I mean, again, if you look over there, they have the big Disney
ever.
Logo up there. Disney doesn't know anything about it.
At least one of those providers does know something about this, and to say it politely, their reply basically is hell no, we won't deal with them.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to kill the C-band industry at all or anything like that, but what they're trying to do here, and the thing that aggravates me, and I had a talk with Casey from Legal Free to Air this morning, and about this, is they're going around to different free-to-air sites under different usernames and posting, hey, I just got this new box, and it's for a new subscription service, and it's really, really great. And they're trying to act like they're reviewing a product. And then Glenn pops in there under a different name as I forgot what he posted. He posted he gave himself a title as Reindeer Press Relations or something like that, something really, really stupid. And, oh, yeah, that's our new such-and-such, and we're launching this fall at such-and-such, and it turned into a big ad. And even over there, Casey saw that, and he freaked out and had to shut down the thread. It's really deceptive what these guys are trying to do. And like I said last week, when he first started up this MapMaster program at Satellite Guys, I was stupid. I let it run because I believed in C-band television. And at the time he was promoting it, it was supposed to be a free thing. It wasn't until I got wind that he was charging $500, $600, $700 to modify people's boxes that I had a problem with it. And when I shut him off, he freaked out at me and said it was his constitutional rights to post his stuff on my forum. And that's when I told him to take a hike and, you want to sue me, go ahead. there's no court in the world going to say, oh, yeah, you have to let them post those advertisements on your private forum. No, it doesn't work that way, guys.
Hey, you guys, you want to take some calls? We got some callers. You all right?
Looks like we got
the all right, pick a number, any number.
Is that all right with you, Joe?
Hey, I'm good.
If they're bad, we'll hit the hang-up button.
And if they're really bad, we'll let them...
Okay,
really
so,
bad,
so
we'll
I'm going to get hung up on that.
No, we got you specially marked. You're in the special zone.
Oh, I always am.
All right. Pick a number.
Here we go.
There.
Here we go. Hello?
Hello.
You're on here. Who's
Hello?
This?
This is Steve.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing great. What's on your mind today?
You're talking about reindeer and all their shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm the one who wrote the maps.
Yeah, I figured this is Steve, who's also known as Vendig and a couple other names online. And
No. My legal department gave me an email today saying some guy named Steven is the evil mastermind planning to bring down C-Ban and Glenn.
Well,
I'm sure no one's figured out that he's got a C-Ban dish. Yeah. It's what he runs.
Oh, wow.
But
I am the one who had the unhappy task of cleaning up a lot of this mess. Many people who had their receivers done by Glenn found out that they were compromised, that, he wasn't delivering them on time. And it wasn't me who exposed him, actually. It was other people who, by their complaints, through several different forums who started everything. And I just happened to know a little bit more. And then when I confronted Glenn about this, Glenn admitted that he had compromised their receivers. And I believe, Scott, you have some of those emails yourself, don't you?
I do have some of those emails, yes. And, you know, it's, some of those emails make it kind of really weird because the guy claims to be the E4D TV expert, and in his emails he explains he didn't know what the hell he was doing, which is kind of funny.
Well, what started out was I have several dishes, I have several receivers, and they were getting to their end of life. Glenn was down on his luck. He was still in good graces at the time. I thought he was still legit. What I did not know was that he kept all, he downloaded the information out of my receivers, and instead of writing new maps, he just put my complete bins into other people's receivers.
Including your unit ID numbers, correct?
Including the unit ID numbers. Mm-hmm. But what he did not realize was that the programmer continued on with the program, which things that he did not know about and cannot do even to this day was be able to read those keys. He couldn't read them, but he knew well in advance, long beforehand, this was something you were never to do to anybody else. But Glenn was
Steve, to make this simple for us guys that don't know that much about 4D TV, is this the equivalent of cloning the basic entire operating system and authorizations and all that?
Okay, it is an attempt at it. It is an attempt at it. However, because of the way these receivers are built, he cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is this. When a new motherboard was placed in receivers, it would have a new unit ID. I can read all that information. I knew when somebody sent me their file if they had a replacement motherboard put in a receiver. And I also knew who put it in there because I was in contact with those people. And I just flat out asked them, and they said, oh, yeah, we did that receiver. And I read off the numbers to them, and they confirmed it. It's in the same area where I found all of my receiver information's in. Glenn admitted he did this, but yet I'm the so-called, you know, devil in disguise or whatever you want to call it. You know, according to him, you know, we are the liars. You know, he's the one that is telling the truth. Well, if that's the case, how comes so many people came out of the woodwork complaining before we ever said anything, before Scott said anything, before I said anything, before Joe said anything? All these other people were the ones complaining about Glenn. Even a man in Florida who had their 905 receiver stolen by Glenn.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm actually looking at forum posts at Rick's now from this guy. And you know, at Fridge, we had that one guy that was either Glenn or his one last friend, you know, post that, well, you know, all this
just
can't be real. That wasn't the name he was under then, but, you know, you can just sign up at a forum and make up any name. But you guys mind if I read this quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Go for it.
Go ahead.
All right. Hello, everyone on this forum. After filing dispute cases with PayPal and my credit card company a few months ago, the cases are now closed and my account was fully credited back. However, Glenn has not returned my 905 sidecar after numerous messages left with him to return it, and now he is in possession with stolen property. Glenn is a criminal, thief, and con/scam artist. I had already filed reports against him at the local and federal levels, and I'm awaiting the outcome of their investigations. Now, this definitely wasn't some, you know, fake post or whatever Glenn wants to claim from the conspiracy, because the poster used a ham radio call sign for his username. So, you know, any of us hams know You can easily go in and find out the real person behind it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, what makes this interesting, or, you know, my quote-unquote legal department tells me is that, you know, when I get sued by the law firm of Glenn and Glenn, that part of my discovery is I'll be going right to PayPal and getting a copy of this dispute, you know, along with all the other sales records and everything else. I'll contact every person he's ever dealt with, and, God, he thinks he's got a problem with a dozen guys posting on 4 forums. I have a heck of a problem if I get a hold of that and released it.
Yeah. And one of the ways he's got around these things is he told PayPal, and PayPal, you know, talked to him. He said, no, 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 all these were not for payments for services. These were donations. And that's the way he got around these things.
Well, Glenn does not have a nonprofit organization, and all his donation buttons, donations that he had received, were now placed together with his other items so that they were lumped together, and if he comes over a certain amount, I made sure that it would be reported to the Internal Revenue Service. I also have in my possession a Chicago Police Department notice the numbers on it against Glenn Musilak in Chicago for his deceptive practices. And he has a warrant out for his arrest if he ever comes to my home state or in the state that I have my own business in, which has nothing to do with the satellite industry. They're two separate states.
We're not trying to. I'm not trying to put down the C-band industry in any way. And to Glenn's partners, I'm really sorry that you're having to go through this. You know, you're probably putting a lot of time and effort into it, and you're not going to really get anywhere because of who you're partnering with. And that's to me is unfortunate. When MapMaster first became announced, I was all for it because I wanted to see people be able to reprogram their 4D TVs and be able to enjoy what they paid for. And only when it became clear to me that it was this big money-making operation is when I started really having a problem with it and put the kibosh on it. So, you know, I wanted to see it succeed. And to be honest with you, I want to see a subscription C-band service out there. But as long as Glenn's involved, I'm going to speak out on it and tell you my reasons why. And it's unfortunate, as I say, for his partners, but you should know who you're working with before you get into business with somebody.
Well, when this first started out, we all came in together to do this, to give it back to the community for free. That is what I got in with. That is what the programmer came in with and the others. Many of the others had dropped out before the program came to fruition, but the programmer and I stuck with it. Glenn came along and said that he needed to feed himself. He was broke. He needed money. We didn't care if he wanted to do battery replacements and stuff and to put maps in. It was only when the people started complaining that the programmer said, "Hey, Steve, what do you think it's time for us to put it out?" And I said, "It's your program. You do with it what you want. I just write the maps." So the programmer decided to release it to the public for free, and many people came back to us asking if they could give us or donate money to us to help us, and we refused it because we said, this is a hobby. We did not do this to make a business out of it.
Yeah, and from the email I saw, you know, when you asked him about the money and where it all went, he said, "Sorry, guys, I had to eat."
Oh, yes, and he told me that directly to my face on the phone.
Guys, I understand as a business owner that, you know, when you're trying to make a living, you do have to eat. The difference is, are you eating from an honest living, or are you eating because you outright screw people? And I'm not, I don't have the best reputation within the FDA community, because I tend to go after guys like this, hardcore, that pull scams and frauds. you know, and I won't let it go. I make a big scene about it. You know, it's one thing if the guy wants to make an honest living, but when he starts using Scott's forum and my forum and other forums to outright defraud people and screw them, it's crossing the line.
Well, it is crossing the line, and we need people who are the owners of these forums to help go after these individuals to put an end to it. It's hurting people. It's not helping anyone. All of us, I think we do agree, we would love to see a revival in the C-band industry, but it's not going to happen from a liar, somebody who's stolen, and somebody who just doesn't know how to tell the truth.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's not going to happen.
It's really unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate.
The whole thing honestly stinks, and it's unfortunate we even need to spend as much time on it. But I really want to let, especially our Satellite Guys members, know why we're not letting people talk about this online. Why should I promote something that I feel is not 100% legitimate, that I can throw my weight behind, from a person who screwed so many people over? I mean, again, go to Reindeer Satellite and take a look at the specs of their box and see what they say it can do. It says it's exclusive 4K ready. The box is not 4K compatible whatsoever. They make a lot of...
Scott?
Yeah.
Scott, I do have to, you know, not to defend Pinocchio over there or anything, but, you know, I've done a little bit of research on the 4K compatibility.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, actually, there are a lot of IRDs and STBs that are technically 4D compatible if they get a firmware update. But the thing is, Glenn's making it sound like all of a sudden you're going to get, you know, 4K out of a HDMI 1.2 or 1.3 that can't do more than 1080p. Assuming the PowerView is one of those IRDs that could be upgraded by firmware, it is going to be the exact thing as downgrading 1080i to your analog 480i output. It's not going to be true 4K. You'll be able to look at it, but it's going to look horrible.
Right, but it's not outputting true 4K, and that's the whole thing here. To output true 4K with the current HDMI specifications, you actually need 4 HDMI connectors on the back of that thing.
You know, I didn't even see a USB port on there. You know, for $1,000, I hope nobody wants to, you know,
way to update it is over the satellite, Joe. You can't even update it. Only via the
satellite.
Right.
It's PowerView. They control
it. Yeah.
There you go. And I believe the specs do say that there is no USB port on those receivers.
Mm-hmm.
There's not. I have one.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
For your $1,000, you don't get to tamper with it like you would an Asbox or an Amico. You know, you don't get to have any fun with it, and you don't even get to watch a movie or press a record button.
He doesn't mention that you can't move your dish with it.
Oh, yes.
Well, for $1,000, and it doesn't have a positioner controller? It must have a rotor controller in there, right?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing. So to get it to work, it's going to be a big mess just to get it to work. You're going to have to hook up your own V-Box, G-Box, whatever kind of box you use to move your C-band dish back and forth. And I don't know. I just see it as a big problem. And I also don't see broadcasters who are not currently broadcasting in PowerView uplinking signals just so that, you know, these 100 people can subscribe to these channels. And especially in what they keep calling master HDTV content.
Well, let's be realistic here. With the amount of actual subscribers that he could really get, if he could get any, what are we talking about?
Well,
are we talking about
Dan.
1,000? Oh, well, of course. And you have a couple. You have two
Reindeer.
Others, okay?
Yeah. Oh,
and you might have Joe over there getting one just so he can be a subscriber.
No, I'm getting the full four room. house.
And you're getting the
$4,000.
But if just to be a little serious here with this part, even if he was to have 1,000 subscribers, which remember he's saying you need a 10-foot or larger dish, and they're not making them. They're not. No, you can't find anybody to put up a new dish anymore. Okay. Now, if he was able to get 1,000, how long could he actually last with the amount of subs? They wouldn't make any money in the long term. They'd shut up anyway. They'd close down.
Right.
No, I don't see it
being viable. There's no money to be made.
But bottom line is there's no money for the content owners and the people that own those head-end signals. 1,000 subscribers, that's, they wouldn't notice that in a blink of an eye.
Are they going to play with just... Yes, are they going to play with only a measly 1,000 subscribers?
And if they do, what are the channels going to cost? Is it going to be $25 per channel to make it viable still?
The subscription prices will be outrageous. I mean, we're just being honest here. And it's like, okay, folks, we have some people who are really interested in this because you have some people out there, they're like, is this true? Well, it's possible. Is it going to last you? Is it going to hold up? He's going to collect at least a year's subscription ahead of time. He's going to have to.
Plus the cost of the box. Yep.
Plus the cost of the box. Who has that type of money to outlay right now? This is a pipe dream.
Well, and who has that kind of money that has a 10-foot or bigger bud in good condition? You know, and that Ranger site says, we don't recommend an LNBF or DROs. You should have a PLL setup.
Uh-huh.
So,
how many people got one of those?
You know, add $300 to $1,000 plus for a decent PLL setup to maybe get some of these feeds. Geez, I mean, the end user is going to get to the point where they could probably buy one of these low-power TV stations for the cost of the hardware, that they'd end up putting in.
Yeah.
I just don't see it ever coming out to do any good. I believe this is a total scam for them to try to get money off of people, and they will be running.
The other thing that me and Joe uncovered was that these three partners, one's in Florida, one's in Washington State, and one's in Chicago. How can you run a business like that?
They're trying.
They're trying, but I just don't see it happening.
Isn't that how... Charlie Ergen got started. He had one guy in Canada and one guy in Siberia and another guy in Mexico, and they managed to bring C-band up from the ground up.
Charlie got extremely lucky.
He was in the right place at the right time.
I sat down and talked with him about the beginning of C-band and his things there, and he did say it was the right place at the right time, but more than that, he said it was luck.
But again, man. For an individual who wants to sell a service like this, I think he sure banned a lot of people from his own website, did he not?
Yes. Yep. You can't say anything
about
that. Ask questions that are
not
possible.
Did anyone go to that website?
I've got a bunch of accounts on there. How about you?
I don't even go there.
I had one, but... there was, I think the last activity I saw was like a year ago, the one time I was there. I tried posting some wild feeds, but, you'd get about two views, which, was probably the forum bot or something looking at it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it is pretty sad when the owner of the forum over there, creates several different accounts and starts talking to themselves. Just to make it look like there's more people.
Yep. And I love
that
when
you know,
He's not the first guy I've known that's done that.
I would do that,
but I just prefer talking directly to myself. So
I loved it when you were saying how great he was to talk to. He was going around saying, he'd post a message and then say, yeah, listen to what Glenn says. He's the ultimate expert in 4D TV. And then Glenn would come back, well, thank you for your kind comments. And then he replied back to himself, well, you're welcome, and you are the best, so don't let anybody tell you any different. And it was kind of like, okay, this is very – and it was all like 2 minutes apart from each other.
Yeah.
A very large ego.
All right.
Well, guys, I'm going to get off of here. I'll let somebody else call in. So you have a wonderful night, and thanks for letting me on.
Hey, Steve, thank you for all the work you guys did on MapMaster. You guys were the true geniuses behind it all, so we do appreciate it. And, you know, it helped people use their 4D TV a lot longer than it would have been if it wasn't for you guys.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the compliment there. And believe it or not, these 4Ds, they're good receivers. They do hold up. And the people that are looking to get a battery replacement out there now, there are places that you can get them done. There are other people that are willing to help you out. Just take your time. Ask around. You know, I can't say it, especially on the air, I can't say everything that I know, but if they would go back to one party and maybe send them an email, somebody might still be able to answer them and to help them out. That's all I'm going to say.
Steve,
yes, sir?
The bottom line is, I know how to solder. I also have contacts at electronics companies. So I got a hold of a 920 that I know nothing about. I managed to match up a better battery than came with the things. And it took me a lot longer to take out the million screws than it did to take the old one out and put a new one in. It's not hard to
do.
There, I'm sure that Scott's got guides on his site. I did a picture-by-picture, step-by-step. There's YouTube videos. You know, basically, if your hand's steady enough to do basic soldering,
I'm
on, you know, on an 80s-type motherboard, anybody can do this themselves. You don't need to send it off for 8 weeks to anywhere and pay somebody hundreds of dollars to change a $10 battery.
No, you definitely should not send it off to Chicago. That would be your worst nightmare. Too many people have already exposed that scam and that nightmare in Chicago. So there are other people and places around that you can get help. All I can say is this, is that I received an email just a few days ago, and the email said, Steve, we're here to take care of your receivers if you ever need help, no matter what. I said, fine, thank you. So I don't know what this is going to mean for other people in the future. Just things are just not completed yet. That's all.
Right, right. Well, Steve, again, thanks for calling in and giving us an update and your views on these things, because it's very interesting. And we appreciate you having you on tonight.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good one, man.
All right. You too.
All right. Well, I didn't mean for the entire hour to talk about our buddy at the Reindeer Games Satellite Company. But, Joe, anything you want to tell our listeners out there about Fridge Free to Air or about your store? Any kind of specials you got going on, something like that?
Well, we got the Alien 2 with the new WLN Wi-Fi, which is it's got the 5 decibel high gain antenna for I think it comes out to around 220 shipped on Flea Bay right now. You know, we always have the Alien 2s, and anyone that has questions is welcome to stop by the forums and check out our sites.
Yeah. That's Fridge.
And check out the product.
That's fridgefreetoair.info for the forums over there. And, you know, two different sites, Satellite Guys and them, but we do things our way, they do things their way. It's Coke and Pepsi. That's all it boils down to in the long run. And it was a pleasure having you on the show tonight. anytime you want to come on, you know, let us know. We'll be happy to have you on if you've got a new product coming out and want to talk about it. And for our listeners who were listening tonight and last week's show, I want to say one thing. And going forward, we're not going to make every week a bitch at the Reindeer Game Satellite. In fact, I hope tonight's the last night we talk about it for a while. We cleared the air, and, you know, we gave you our feelings on it, and you know, I'm not going to keep hammering it, because you're going to get sick of hearing about it as much as we are talking about it. So do the right thing, save your money, and do not support Reindeer Satellite. That's my advice, my opinion. And, of course, on any radio talk show, the opinions expressed on the radio show of those of the host, and not necessarily those of Satellite Guys or any of our sponsors or who else was the other person?
Block Talk Radio. Legal department.
And my legal department and your legal department and all that stuff. It's strictly our own opinion. So we thank you guys for listening tonight. And before I got to go, I just want to ask if anybody else has anything else to say.
Well, Scott, you guys, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I'd be happy to come on anytime and discuss some real satellite that exists, you know, free-to-air, IPTV, you know, when we can have a nice, peaceful, Glenn-free night if our legal departments approve.
That'd be beautiful. And if you got any equipment that you want tested and reviewed, you know, talk to Dave or Michael, and they'll be happy to review it for you and give you a nice, honest review up online and for people to see. These guys love testing things out, and they know what they're doing. They're not like me where I screw everything up. And I don't know how I got to be the satellite guy when my satellite doesn't work half the time. But what are you going to do?
Hey, Joe. Yeah, it's coming with Amoco and the near future. Anything you come out with, any boxes that you haven't mentioned yet, or anything you can mention or you want to mention? Or
well, we're, you know, with Europe, a lot of boxes just, you know, they're good for Europe. They're not good for North American true free air. So I have a lot of different European boxes here that we're not going to introduce. Right now I am looking at a nice one. It's more aimed towards the satellite end rather than the fancy IPTV. And you know, we might see that in the near future. And we have a heck of a game changer that will be coming out sometime next year. That's basically going to do all the things we can't do right now with our FTA boxes.
Will it be able to do certain numbers on that free to air box?
Certain numbers?
Yeah, like the, let's see, 422?
This I don't know, but based on what I know of the operating system we're going to be using, it's entirely possible.
That'd be cool. People are still looking for those 422 boxes out there in the... You know, can't blame them. There's some certain events happening every week that are up there in 422 that people want to watch, so can't blame them.
Yeah. You know, we could spend a whole another hour talking about 422 and the way broadcasting is going.
Yeah, there's different formats out there now. Yep.
422 is probably going to die in art with the rest of some other things, you know.
Well, I mean, the key is... you know, if the lowest value feed happens to be SD422 and that's the feed that you want to watch, you probably need a 422 box.
Right. But if you want anything else,
a lot of other people, for what they need, they don't need anything more than a basic satellite receiver that does 420 and S2 and HD.
Right. Exactly. Everybody keeps talking about it, but in my opinion, I think it's everything's, you know, moving to different bit rates and different technologies and different things. And 422 is going to kind of slowly move out. You know, it's like 8-track did, and well, not really. 8-track was kind of coming good real quick, but you know what I'm getting at. You know.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is everybody keeps asking me every time I talk about different satellite receivers. It's like, how come you didn't ask about 422? I want one that does 422. So I got to throw the question out there so I don't get killed when I go out in public.
Yeah, you gotta ask
it. And you know, I'm probably the worst salesman when it comes to selling things. You know, I tend to try to not oversell somebody, and everybody wants 422.
just like, you know, everyone would like a Corvette.
Exactly.
But when they find out what it's actually going to do and how practical it is, and more importantly, the extra amount of money they're going to have to pay for it, they tend to get the minivan. I mean,
yeah. How much more insurance is going to cost on it? Oh, wait a minute. Never mind.
That's why I don't see people buying a $1,000 satellite receiver.
No. Well, that's not going to happen. Joe, we've, like Scott said, George, I hadn't talked a lot tonight. I've been trying to get edgewise stuff. I just kind of sit back and listen to the debate there. But glad to have you on the show. And I come to your forum sometimes here and there. And I go under Mountain Satellite. But I don't think I've ever really made a whole lot of posts over there. But anyway.
Make a post. Say hi. We're really friendly over there. And, you know, most of the time we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah, I was thinking about changing it to and using the same one I use on Satellite Guys and make a whole new account and do it that way. But nothing against you. I just, most of these other forums, you know, like yours and a lot of other ones, you know, I'm staff over at Satellite Guys, but a lot of times I read a lot and see a lot. And a lot of times I don't even log in. I just go to them, even though I've got an account. I just go and read and see what's going on and go, you know. But I may just do that, and you know who I am anyway. So,
I know who you are now. I mean, aren't you the guy that promised me? Didn't I get a weird text message from you saying that I want a year of free satellite on my choice of free DBS or Ranger satellite?
No, that was me. That was Dave.
That was Dave.
Oh. How many days now has it been free DBS with nothing?
You know, I don't have my site up right now, but I have a JavaScript counter on the front page that counts down the days, hours, and minutes, you know, since free DBS has delivered nothing.
I laugh at it every time I see it.
Is it over 1,000 days yet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we were at, like, 1,300 or...
1400. It's 4 years or so.
Let me see if I can pull it up. 1,300, 4 days, 14 hours, 7 minutes, and 34 seconds mark.
Let's see. Yeah,
but, you know, I'll at least give those guys a little bit of credit. They didn't put up a donate button or try to sell people hopes and dreams, so...
Yeah, they didn't pull a Glenn, but yeah. They ain't going to pull a bore.
Well, guys, I think we're going to call it a night, unless you have any more questions for our guest, Joe.
Yeah, we're going to put this 20th episode of Satellite Nation in history and look forward to next week.
Yep, so before we go, I just want to remind everybody to enter the contest to win the Dream Cruise out of New York City. It includes a night stay in New York City airfare and a 7-day cruise with us, me and my wife. And there'll also be a Satellite Guy staff member who will also win the same prize, be joining us on the cruise as well. And then we're going to open up the cruise so that you'll be able to book it if you want to come with us through your own travel agent. We're not looking to make any money on this. We're just looking to get a bunch of Satellite Guys together to have a good time on a trip and celebrate our 10th birthday in style. So go ahead and enter. It's been 30 minutes since last time I mentioned it. You can enter once every 30 minutes up to 10 times a day. And that's our way of saying happy birthday, Satellite Guys, and thanking you for the past 10 years. All right, guys. Well, it's been great. Thanks again, Joe. And again,
his site
is Fridge.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
FTA.info. That's FridgeFTA.info for his forum. And then you can find the links there to his store and all the other stuff that he's got going on over there. And with that, we'll say goodnight.
You're welcome back anytime, Joe.
Alrighty. Have a good night,
guys. Thanks,
guys.
I appreciate it.
Excuse me, sir. The show's over.
Thank you, and good night.
Thanks to all that tuned in tonight. Join those crazy satellite guys, Michael and Dave, next week for another exciting episode of Satellite Nation.
Bye-bye. I want to see motion and movement. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay? Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.